Welcome to the first edition of Art Attack, Teuton Essay's podcast that explores San Antonio's art scene. I'm your host, Emily Messer. For the first podcast, Teuton Essay would like to take a look at the ofrendas of Dia de los Muertos. They're the altars that people build to pay tribute to the dead November 1st and 2nd. November 1st being for the infants and children who are deceased, November 2nd for the adults. The altars are colorful displays of sugar skulls, religious candles, flowers, marigolds usually, photos, and more. And don't call this a morbid practice. Dia de los Muertos celebrates the continuation of life, a new stage, not the end.
If you do this celebration every year and you talk about the person, the lives, the slides, you take the pictures out, the objects, and you tell them, the little kids when they are little, you know, they feel that identity, they know from where they came and why they are the way they are, and they talk with love about the ancestors.
That's Gloria Sanchez Hart. She grew up in Guadalajara, Mexico, attended college and married in San Miguel de Allende, then moved to San Antonio 9 years ago. And there's Martin C. Rodriguez, another San Antonio artist, who is making an altar to mock death.
By honoring the dead, I think in turn, you should be enjoying your life now. Be appreciative.
Even Jack Jackson, a white Presbyterian who's been studying Dia de los Muertos and public ofrendas for 15 years has observed this.
Part of what the Day of the Dead does is it celebrates life by making fun of death, by making it humorous.
The holiday has pagan origins, but it eventually became celebrated in the Catholic religion. So how did Dia de los Muertos come to be an important holiday in Mexican culture?
After the conquest and Mexico became Christian, this was stronger because it's the syncretism. We take both from both cultures. And this syncretism in everything in Mexico, in every celebration. But this specifically, this one, is very, very strong.
Typically, the altars include items like marigolds, religious candles, photos, sugar skulls, paper decorations, images of patron saints, and items associated with the deceased. Modern altars may have more artistic interpretations. We'll take a look at two altars being built by San Antonio artists and one man who researches them. The first one is commentary on the ongoing war in Iraq. The second one is about the personal relationship between a man and his father, after his father returned from the Vietnam War. First, there's Sanchez Hart's ofrenda. So she's making an altar to comment on the Iraq War. Sanchez Hart uses black paint on a black-framed door-sized mirror to create an image of the Aztec god of darkness. She traces the image using a sort of papel picado as her stencil, and the image symbolizes the smoke and mirrors surrounding the war, she says.
When you are doing art and you really are in touch with your feelings, they come out in any way. And you know, probably, yes, probably I'm worried, probably I'm sad, probably I feel completely, como se dice, impotent, unable to do anything. That's why I was telling you, you know, this is the God of the things that we have no control on.
By the way, Sanchez Hart's son is in Iraq, but she says his altar isn't personal.
I wasn't connecting this with my personal situation, because what I think this country, the whole country, is with broken heart, with this war. And you know, but still, we have to continue.
Just like when people disassemble their altars after Dia de los Muertos, Sanchez Hart will wash the paint off her mirror. She'll make a print from it. But other than that, it's impermanent.
Everything is ephemeral. Life is ephemeral.
Martin C. Rodriguez, a San Antonio artist of Puerto Rican descent who has never created an altar, is building one for his father. It will be displayed at the Mandala Gallery. His father died at 85, alone, an alcoholic, of unknown reasons.
My father was in the military, and I was born on a military base and spent my whole life traveling in the military. He was in the Army, was in Vietnam and Korea twice, and during the War of Vietnam, he was actually a pilot in a helicopter that ended up crashing and was taken captive. It was a prisoner of war.
Rodriguez's father came back from the war a different person, his whole family says.
A lot of the family members believe that he probably never came back from Vietnam because he was never the same again. You can definitely tell through the photos of our family history that there is a change in his early life to his later life. He always seemed miserable. He aged really quickly. You can see it in the face, kind of almost like overly stressed. What do they call the syndrome? Post-traumatic syndrome, I guess you'd call it. And he became alcoholic and kind of hard to deal with.
His father took swigs of the vodka bottle after waking up early around sunrise. He wrote bad checks. He smoked around his children. He was fired from jobs. Here's an example of how he was around his kids.
My mother would cook and leave the pan of grease on the stove. One time I was up late watching Twilight Zone, and he comes in drunk from somewhere, I don't know where, and he walks around and he just looks at us on the couch, and then he goes to the kitchen, so we follow him. And he picks up the pan of grease and just drinks the whole thing. And, yeah, and then just belches and gives us the finger and then goes to bed. So it was just one of those things that was just really grossed us out, but then it's funny now.
These experiences, this unresolved relationship with his father, makes Rodriguez's altar a little more complicated than most.
Most altars are to honor those who have inspired you in your life. And this one, it's a dual altar in the sense that, you know, it's partial inspiration, partial just remembrance of history. And don't forget to remember other people's mistakes, because history will repeat itself. So a lot of this will be kind of just focusing on who he was and who he became later. And not so much as that it inspired me, but a lot of it showed me what was wrong with that, or what, you know, to separate right from wrong.
For his altar, Rodriguez will have about a dozen brightly colored candles covered with Mary and the saints. He'll have photos that represent different periods of his father's life. He has about 5 right now. They range from a black and white photo of a maybe 6-year-old child in a uniform giving a friendly salute to the camera, to the last one before his father's death. He's at a family function. He's sitting alone, looking scared, smoking a cigarette, and drinking a beer.
First time I've done any altar, for that matter. And I had different directions I wanted to go, but everything kept steering me back to that, almost as if to create my own resolve.
For Rodriguez, the altar teaches that good can come out of bad.
Part of this, in addition to, you know, remembering him, and is the fact that, you know, not all bad came from that. There's things that spawned from him that I think turned out really well. And, you know, you have to recognize that if he didn't end up the way he was, the things to follow wouldn't have came to be.
Public ofrendas are another type of altar. They're the kinds that are located in cemeteries. Jack Jackson, director of Soul Source of Light Center at the First Presbyterian Church at Trinity University, has been exploring public altars and Dia de los Muertos for 15 years. He doesn't make altars. He did once. But Jackson is so intrigued by the subject that he's organized a tour of San Antonio cemeteries to coincide with the holiday. So how does a white Presbyterian with Southern roots, who wasn't born in San Antonio, become interested in Dia de los Muertos altars?
We can walk through this life believing that we are alone, that we do these things one generation at a time, and there's no real connectivity or connection to any of this. And that's fine and good. There's nothing wrong with that point of view. But you can also take the point of view that we are the embodiment of what had gone before us. That is to say that the people who loved us and gave us nurture continue to live through our lives and will continue to be living through our descendants. And so in that connection, life has much greater meaning, because you recognize that we're an extension of them, and they're an extension of us, and to allow physical death to have the final say is maybe giving it more credence than it do.
These altars are not naturally a part of who Jackson is.
Part of the glory of this custom for those of us who are not part of the Hispanic community, who are not Roman Catholic, etc., that we are seeing an expression of something that we know about, maybe in some other way that we intuit or feel instinctively, and it provides a means of expression that we then go, oh yes, I get it, I know what they're doing. And I think that's part of the joy of when cultures come together, we can learn so much from other people, and they can learn so much from us.
The cemetery Jackson is standing in is the San Fernando Cemetery No. 2 for the San Fernando Cathedral. The cemetery was plotted in the 1920s. It's well maintained, and it's covered with bright altars. To Jackson, the altars help us peel back the layers of time. Altars teach us what it is to be human. Altars teach us how our ancestors lived.
I think there is a sort of community that's created out of this that may not otherwise have a means of expression or thinking of itself as one thing, you know, because we are so different and Mexican-American culture is so different. These sorts of customs sort of erase the distinctions of time and allow you to feel a sort of common identity and purpose.
For more information on the two altars, cemetery tour, and other Dia de los Muertos events, grab the Wednesday, October 31st issue of Tutan Essay or visit tutanessay.com. Thank you for listening to Art Attack. Again, I'm Emily Messer, and I'd like to end this with a poem that Sánchez Hart wrote about death.
Sea mi muerte de plata y lapislázuli, un relámpago de callada poesía. Sea mi muerte sencilla mariposa. Sea mi muerte sonriente y digna. Be my dead, plata and lapis, a lightning of quiet poetry. Be my dead, simple butterfly. Be my dead, smiling with dignity.